I went to bed, April 19th, a happy woman, having a world around me, and I woke up on the 20th to nothing.
This is Lavinia Gelineau describing the day she became a widow. Her husband had just been sent off to Iraq, and they were young, practically newlyweds. It sounds like a sad story you've heard before, but there's more. Less than a year later, something happened to Lavinia, something no one expected. This week, on YouthCast, producer Spencer Scott tells a haunting story about the cost of war.
And when I saw them, when I entered that room and I saw them, I literally felt something snap in my chest. I couldn't feel my legs. And all I could hear was, "Mrs. Gelineau, we regretfully inform you." This is all I heard.
Lavinia Gelineau sits on a lonely couch in semi-darkness. The room around her seems to be lit only by the candles that surround a shrine to the dead soldier who was once her husband. Lavinia was just 24 years old when she lost her husband, Chris. After just 1 year of marriage, she had become a war widow. But Lavinia and Chris Gelineau shared a love so intense it required two marriages to satisfy, one in Vermont, where Chris's parents lived, and the other in Romania, Lavinia's native country. Lavinia and Chris met at the University of Southern Maine, where they went to school together. The closer they grew, the more concerned Lavinia became about Chris's continuing service in the military.
I was scared. I was very scared, and I always had this, not necessarily an obsession, but just a bad feeling altogether that the military was going to take him away. And I kept telling him that, "I'm so scared they're going to take you away. I'm so scared." And I knew he was not going to be able to get out. I knew that, you know, and I couldn't do anything about it. I wasn't there when he joined. But I was restless counting the days until he was going to be out.
In November of 2003, Lavinia's fear was realized. Her husband was put in alert status, and a few days later, he was activated. Lavinia last saw Chris on a cool February day at Fort Drum in New York.
At that point, we hadn't seen each other for a month. And even that 1 month was an unbearably long time. And I remember just, you know, we just held each other for like 15 minutes. And our hearts were racing. And we just did not even dare speak. That was how intense it was. We just held tight onto each other. And we're trying, I was so... scared that was one of the last hugs like that I was going to get from him. He kept saying, I'm going to be back. Don't worry, I'm going to be back. It's going to be okay. Before we left, I asked Chris, I said, "Babe," I said, "what's going to happen if I'm not going to see you again? I'm so afraid I'm not going to see you again." And he didn't say anything. And I got upset and I said, "Why aren't you saying that you're going to come back? That's what you've been saying all along. You're going to be back. You're going to be back." And he looked at me and said, "Because I don't know, babe. I'm going to do my best. I don't know."
That was the last time Lavinia saw her husband. But every morning at 7 a.m., she would wake up and find Chris waiting for her on instant messenger. He would reassure Lavinia that everything was going to be okay. The constant contact made it seem that Chris would never go away, even while at war. She believed Chris was invincible. On April 20th, 2004, Lavinia was forced to come to the devastating realization that he was not.
Oh, my thoughts are, "Oh my God, where is he now?" I could see him, you know, lying on a table somewhere, on a cold table with a tag attached to his toe, to his feet. Like somewhere lying there, like just a body lying somewhere in the cold, or his body being moved from one airport to the other in a casket. Oh my god, it was just unbelievable. I went to bed April 19th, a happy woman, having a world around me, and I woke up on the 20th to nothing.
It was an infinitely gray morning when my mother woke me to tell me what had happened to Lavinia. I felt the same devastating shock that Lavinia must have felt when the army chaplain regretfully informed her of her husband's death. On April 1st, 2005, Lavinia Gelineau was murdered by her abusive father, who afterward hung himself. He had come from Romania to see his daughter and his estranged wife, Lavinia's mother. Lavinia had sent her mother to stay with Chris Gelineau's father in Vermont so she would be safe from her violent husband. Chris had been dead for almost a year at that point, and there was no one to help her. Lavinia was alone when she was murdered. But in a way, Lavinia's death released her from solitude. She was buried next to Chris, as she had planned all along. Her name was already engraved on the stone next to his. I remember visiting Chris's grave with Lavinia mere weeks before her own death. I remember the sound of the chime Lavinia had hung from the branch that extended over Chris's grave. She told me she put the chime there because in the winter there were no birds or squirrels and she wanted music for Chris because it got lonely there. She spoke as if a piece of her already resided with him in his grave. The air was chilled on that day in March as we stood in the shallow snow before the red-hued granite stone cut in the shape of a heart. Everything was quiet and still. Lavinia told me that in the summer, when everything was green and the sky was beautiful and the birds were singing, it almost made her want to be happy, but then she'd remember why she was there. What happened to Lavinia and Chris Gelineau seems too bizarre to possibly be real. It is stranger than fiction. It belongs in a Shakespearean tragedy. But it did happen. These two lives that seemed to complete each other were both taken by hatred and violence. Though the tragedy of their story is so staggering it is almost incomprehensible, the web of pain and grief that surrounds their deaths is real and palpable. How do those close to Lavinia and Chris make sense of these two untimely and unnecessary deaths? If Chris had only been home, if he had not been forced to go to war thousands of miles away, they would both be alive. But despite the profound and unfathomable circumstances of Chris and Lavinia's story, their deaths and the anguish felt as a result amount only to the terrible costs of war that have impacted so many. How many war widows have said these words?
I can't wait to see you again.
How many brothers, mothers, fathers, sisters, cousins, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives, sons, daughters.
This story was produced by Spencer Scott for Blunt Youth Radio Project, a group that runs out of WMPG in Portland, Maine. Spencer has since graduated high school and is currently a sophomore at New York University. For a behind-the-scenes look at being a young war reporter, head to the Youthcast blog. The address is youthcast.org. There you can read an interview with Spencer and see a photo of Chris and Lavinia Gelineau. If there's anything you'd like to ask Spencer, he'll be fielding listener questions on the blog, so don't hesitate to leave a comment. Again, that's youthcast.org. Youthcast is a project of Generation PRX, a website that is all about youth radio. To learn more, go to generation.prx.org. Youthcast will be back in 2 weeks with another story by a talented young producer. Youthcast is the next generation of sound. It is a glimpse into the magic eight ball of radio's future, and the outlook is good. I'm Kira Feldman. Thanks for listening.